You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
You're listening to Muses and Stuff. This is the podcast that's all about the dolls. They were the groupies, the wives, the girlfriends, and the muses who played such a huge role in rock and roll history by simply being themselves.
They were sweet, sexy, brave, and powerful. They went after what and who they wanted, and they made no apologies.
We are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
This episode is brought to you by Electrified Porcupine. Electrified Porcupine is a pretty kick-ass website where you can go and read and learn all about music, gaming, wrestling, retro, TV, movies, cartoons, and collectible toys. So go to electrifiedporcupine.com and have a look around. See what you like.
Toast.
You got it. It's working, baby.
Awesome.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode.
Yes. So last week we talked about Anne and Elvis and
Anne's Margaret life. And Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
For those who may just be joining us for the first time, imagine that. Imagine if this was somebody's very first episode of all time of Muses and Stuff, which happens.
For sure.
People are starting to listen every week, and actually we got a new listener the other day and they started from episode one, and I was like, you don't have to listen in order. You can start wherever you want and it's fine. But yeah, we are doing Elvis month.
Yes. So this is sort of, I guess, the most well-known of Elvis's women, Priscilla Presley.
I can't wait for this one.
Yes.
Because this was the only woman married
yes.
to Elvis. He had been engaged and he had given rings. But now I'm going to hear, because I don't know,
yeah.
the story about what it was like to be married and live with Mr. Elvis Presley. Yes.
So with Anne Margaret's, you get the very romantic, very lighthearted Elvis, because she didn't have to put up with him every day.
She had to put up with his crap.
No. And Elvis was definitely a difficult man to be with. Not necessarily his fault. But if you're around yes people your entire life that just do anything that you want, of course, reality becomes...
Wait till I tell you about
world.
Some of his behaviors with Ginger.
Oh, yeah.
It's
awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
So, Priscilla. Priscilla was born May 24th, 1945. It's a decade younger than Elvis, who is 1935, I believe. Her biological father is a Navy pilot who died in a crash when she was 6 months old. She didn't know this until junior high, when she was rummaging through old boxes and she found a photo of like her as a baby and her mom. And
yeah, because that's what you do in like the 40s and 50s yeah. is you just lie
yes.
and sweep things under the rug.
Exactly.
Because why bother talk about anything that's painful?
Yeah.
Just pretend like it never happened. Move on with your life until eventually it comes out and everybody's a little bit scarred.
Yeah. She was raised by her stepdad, thinking, of course, he was her regular or her real dad, sorry. He was also an Air Force officer. She ended up having one sister and four brothers. So she was the only one. She was the oldest, and she was the only one from that one father who passed away when she was 6 months. And then the rest of her siblings were from her stepdad and her.
Where was she born?
In the States.
Okay, but we're not sure what state. I can't remember. Like, if it was Tennessee.
I can't or, quite remember.
Okay, that's cool.
The thing is, she moved constantly as a kid because she wasn't an Air Force brat, right? In 1956, so like 11 or so years old, that's the first time she ever heard who Elvis was. And she discovered him because her dad, her stepdad, brought home the record blue suede shoes as a gift for her.
No kidding. Okay, yeah, because if she's 11, he's 21, he's already hugely successful.
Yep.
Okay, I don't want to spoil anything. Lynx is shaking her head. Don't do it. But Ginger had an interaction with Elvis at a very young age. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. She wasn't like super crazy about Elvis, but every other girl was. Her mom
isn't that how it goes?
Her mom thought he was a bad influence, of course, as many mothers at that point did. But she did join the local Elvis fan club and all that. Because she moved around throughout her childhood, she never really made that like bonding, lasting friendships. But in Texas, like, they finally settled down and she kind of was accepted and she became queen of her junior high school. And that's about the time that her family announced, guess what? We're moving to West Germany. So
you getting comfortable? You like your life? Well, exactly. Let's go.
Her friends tried to cheer her up by being like, Elvis was recently stationed there. Like, maybe you'll meet Elvis. You're going to be in the same country as Elvis.
What the hell were they moving there for?
Air Force.
Okay, tell me about a million more times and then I'll remember.
So, yeah, 1959, she's in Germany. She's having trouble adjusting to her new school, new country. She used to go to a local club, play the jukebox, and write letters to her friends back home. And one day a soldier came in named Curry Grant, and he introduced himself and he asked her if she liked Elvis, and they chatted for a while, and then he was like, hey, do you want to accompany me and my wife for dinner one night at Elvis's house?
Okay,
so of course I was like, hell yeah. After her dad checked out Curry, realized like, okay, this is a gentleman, like, he's married, like, things are okay. It took about 2 weeks for Priscilla to convince her parents to like let her do this, and she did. She went, she says that outside his house in Germany there was a sign that read autographs between 7 and 8, because women would just swarm the house, and even though it was past 8 o'clock, there was still just a ton of women outside.
He was good to his fans. Elvis was good to his fans. He took time for them.
It really is amazing. She went. She got introduced to Vernon, Elvis's dad, and Elvis's grandma.
You know, did anything get mentioned about Vernon's girlfriends in this book?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you gonna talk about it? Or just might as well mention,
like, mention that Elvis Vernon was not a fan of Vernon's choices, because Elvis was a mama's boy.
Yeah.
He loved his mother, and he just could not understand why his dad could so easily kind of get over her passing. Like, no
woman.
And he
dated very young women.
Yes. And yeah, no woman was going to live up to his mom. And he definitely compared every woman that Vernon was into to his mother, of course. And Elvis never liked them. No.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yes. They chatted. Elvis, she talks about how Elvis would play some songs on the piano and she's just going nuts, right? Time flew by. She had a curfew, so she had to go. It was an incredible night. But shortly after that, Curry called again, was like, Elvis wants you to come back. And so she came back again. And the second time was very much like the first, except she got some time alone with him. She says that they cuddled in his room and he talked about how lonely he was.
Interesting.
He talked about his bond with his mom, who had passed by this time. She said time flew by. She had to go. He kissed her, I think, on the forehead or something. And he said, we have plenty of time, little one. I should mention she's 14.
Okay. He's how old?
24.
Okay, so it's...
Yeah.
So after we do like these episodes too, like Lori Lightning is coming up.
Yes.
And it did run in through my head because even today we were looking at our social account and somebody was talking about like all of the groupies all over the decades. And then they started talking about the baby groupies,
yeah,
which was them. So we are going to get into that territory. It was a thing. It happened. 14. Okay. I was wondering how old she was. Okay, another thing that people keep in mind for my episode for next week. So the first time that they had time alone, it was in his room, right?
Yes.
On his bed?
Yeah.
Okay, keep that in mind.
By their fourth date, her parents like laid down the law. We have to meet Elvis. We want to make sure this is okay. Elvis came over with Vernon and they had their intros. Her dad laid down the law. If you're going to date Elvis, he has to pick you up. He has to drive you home. Like, you have to be home on curfew. Of course, Elvis agreed, though they definitely would not do what her parents, you know, wanted. He did definitely get his friends to pick her up and drop her off. One time, actually, a friend of Elvis attempted to rape Priscilla on the drive home.
No.
Yeah, he attacked her. She freaked out. She managed to stop it, and she was scared to tell Elvis, but eventually she did, and of course he went berserk, and he cut that guy like out of his life, and I don't know if he roughed him up or anything like that, but
hopefully. I don't condone violence, right? Except for that.
Yes. So, of course, Priscilla loved being at Elvis's, even though they weren't like together. She says when Elvis would practice his karate and stuff like that, and she would hang out with his grandma and listen to stories about baby Elvis, and Elvis was very open with her. He shared his insecurities about never being allowed to be a great actor, worrying about his fans. He was really worried that after his stint in Germany, they would have forgotten about him. And he would ask her, like, about all the young up-and-coming artists. And, like, he was scared of, like, losing his audience.
Did he love teaching her stuff?
Oh, God, yeah. That's coming up. Okay. Yeah. He also had very traditional thoughts about relationships. He was a rebel in the music, but not in life. A woman has her place. She has to be faithful. So Priscilla knew he was cheating because Elvis had a woman back home named Anita. So the whole time she's with Elvis in Germany, like, she would find notes that Anita had sent him and stuff. She says, despite declarations of innocence, I was not reassured. He was a sex idol of millions and could choose whoever he wanted and whenever he wanted. I quickly learned for my own survival not to ask too many questions. And that would be like a thing throughout their entire relationship.
Do you think that it was a good thing?
Well, I don't think Elvis's cheating was a good thing.
No, I just mean her like
protection of herself. I guess so. Yeah. I mean, you have to kind of look the other way. Or
what's the title of Priscilla's book?
Elvis and Me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because you know what? You know what's interesting?
Yeah.
Anne Margaret's book is just called My Story.
Yeah.
She does not have the word Elvis in her title.
No.
Priscilla does. Ginger also does.
Yeah.
Because Ginger's book is Elvis and Ginger.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Priscilla's book doesn't go in any detail out like past her life with Elvis. So it is focused solely on their time together.
Okay.
So at this time, Priscilla, 14, is also focused on Elvis. And her schoolwork kind of suffered. And she wasn't sleeping enough. And she worried her parents would find out and put an end to it. Elvis noticed how exhausted she was getting, so he started giving her pills called Dexedrine.
Elvis, no! Yeah.
But the thing is here, she never took them, for one, and they were given to the soldiers to keep them awake. Elvis thought they were 100% safe. The doctors were giving them to him. He trusted and believed in them. So Elvis isn't doing something terrible. He thinks he's doing something good, I guess.
Yeah, it's the 50s for you, yes. I guess.
So in March 1st, 1960, Elvis had to return to the States. He was going to return the next day. It was their last night together. They laid in each other's arms. Elvis told her he loved her for the first time. She was scared he'd forget her. She begged him to consummate their love, but he refused. He said, "Someday, Priscilla, but not now. You're just too young." So, no, they did not sleep together when she was 14.
I was thinking it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's make that clear. He also made her promise that she would stay untouched, and he said that he would know. And they drove to the airport together, and he gave her his combat jacket and service stripes. And this was interesting. He said, "I want you to have these. It shows that that you belong to me."
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the last time that he says that to one of his ladies.
And that shows you, yeah, he was very old-fashioned when it came to men and women.
As possessions.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the press caught wind. They saw Priscilla at the airport and they began hounding her. Offers of money and travel came to her. They wanted her to come to the States and do interviews and stuff. She began receiving mail from Elvis fans, some lovingly, some not so lovingly. Elvis said that he would call right away when he left, but 21 days later, she finally heard from him. She wrote him constantly. He never wrote back. He would call sometimes, usually to, like, complain. You know, "I hate this film I'm working on. I'm lonely," whatever. He was still with Anita, which really confused Priscilla. But he also talked about her coming to Graceland, which gave her hope that maybe they did have a future. So this went on for, like, 2 years. And,
okay, she's almost of age.
So, yeah, 16-ish now. Elvis called. It'd been months since she heard from him, and he asked if she wanted to come visit him in LA. She worked on her parents. They finally agreed under condition that she would always be chaperoned. She wouldn't be staying in the same place as him, things like that. And that they would have a detailed itinerary of what they would do. Of course, they gave all that information to her parents, but that's not the way it went. when she arrived, she says there are so many people at his house. Elvis always had a huge entourage around him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, did she go into detail about who they were? Ginger does. So if you don't, it's okay. I can get that.
I'll let you get in. Okay. And she immediately noticed Elvis was different. He was playful and flirty and cocky and not the shy, sensitive, insecure Elvis that she knew. She was nervous, but the time came, everyone left. She got ready for their first night together. After some tender, playful moments, Priscilla thought they were gonna, you know,
have
get
sex.
It on. Elvis again was like, no. He said he'd know when the time was right, and he promised, he told her she had to spend the night at a friend's house, and so he could keep his promise to her parents. She was upset, but she agreed. But, of course, she later found out that he actually did this to avoid awkwardness because he had sent Anita back to Memphis the day before Priscilla came, and he was worried that Anita would, like, make some late-night phone calls and Priscilla would find this out. So,
okay.
Yeah.
It's hard juggling, huh, Elvis?
So the next day, though, Elvis had no problem with her coming back to his place. And that was the first night that they slept together. And I do mean sleep. Mm-hmm. They did not have sex. So the next day, Elvis played her some of his new songs and asked what she thought of them. She told him, "I love your fast-paced songs, like Jailhouse Rock. Like, why don't you play, like, more, like, fast pace, like rock?" And he just flew into a rage.
I was gonna say, no, when Elvis shows you something, you go,
you agree.
Oh, that's the best thing I ever heard. Yes. Because otherwise Elvis is gonna freak out.
"I didn't ask for your opinion on what style I should sing. I asked if you liked the songs, that's all. I get enough amateur opinions as it is." And he stormed out of there. But he quickly came back, apologized. He said, "It has nothing to do with you. I just finished that recording session and it's pretty damn good compared to what they usually have me doing for movies. So yeah, Elvis is just frustrated because
he wanted to be taken seriously.
Yes, and he's not doing the music or the films that he wants to do. So I guess hearing it from another person, like, yeah, you shouldn't be doing this. You should be
doing
like
telling Brian Wilson that he needs to do more songs about surfing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So on that first visit, he took her out shopping for some new gowns. He also ordered a hair and makeup woman for her. He said, "You need to apply more makeup around your eyes. They're too plain naturally. I like a lot of makeup. It defines your features."
Yeah, and who was he?
He was trying to turn her into Tura.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to see. Let's look up pictures of Tura Satana and then early pictures of Priscilla. It's remarkable how much he did change her to be her.
And then it was kind of interesting to see, too, how Ginger looked very similar to Priscilla.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So to keep up with Elvis and his entourage.
Just a younger version. No, no, I don't want to talk shit about Ginger. I loved, like, I loved their relationship and I love that book.
I'm so excited to hear about her.
Yeah, keep going.
Priscilla began taking the same pills that Elvis did because she just could not keep up with him. He also took sleeping pills every night and like speed while he was awake. It was normal for him to sleep 15 hours a day and he would take 2 to 3 hours to like wake up properly.
And it was in those, I think, in those hours of just waking up between like being fully awake that he did some of his crazy like behaviors.
Because he would also often mix his pills. But he, again, first of all, he claimed he
didn't nurses and doctors on hand that were like, this is good for you.
Yes. And he also prided himself on knowing like all the ingredients and drugs. He really knew his stuff. Unfortunately, he didn't realize how dangerous it was, though.
Yeah.
And it would later become a source of many fights between him and Priscilla. But we're not there yet.
A sort of like Judy Garland, like scenario two, where like they just don't know any better.
And it's like the managers feeding it to them.
Balance them out because they're living the highest life that you possibly can live. And you need to have some rest. And but then you need to get up and go. And then it eventually just takes a toll on your body. Mm-hmm. Mind, soul, spirit.
So that was a short visit. And she had to go back to Germany. But 6 months later, Christmas 1962, Elvis invited her to Graceland. So her first night there, Elvis gave her 2 pills to sleep and it knocked her out for 2 days. So that was something. Let's put it that way. For Christmas, he gave her a poodle that she named Honey. She gave him a cigarette case that played Love Me Tender, which I thought was cute. They really had a wonderful time together, but Elvis's flirtations with other women made her very nervous. He would do it in front of her too. And of course, Elvis would get very angry if she tried to discuss it with him. It's all in your head, like usual bullshit. So it was time for her to go back to Germany, but Elvis did not want her to go. So they called her parents and begged for a few more days, but they were like, no, like Priscilla has to go back to school. Like, you're lucky we even let her come visit you, basically. So Priscilla went back home very angry and she really rebelled. She cut classes. She begged her parents to let her go. Meanwhile, Elvis is back in Memphis making arrangements for Priscilla to move there and finish her high school there. And Elvis end up calling her parents and explaining, Priscilla won't live with me. She'll live with my father, Vernon, and his wife at the time. He also told him he couldn't live without Priscilla. And he implied marriage to her parents to make them, I guess, less nervous.
Yeah. And eventually, also, like, I will take care of you and your entire family as long as you live. Just let me marry her.
Eventually, miraculously, her parents agreed. I guess they were, like, Priscilla actually in her book kind of says, like, they really had no choice. They were either going to have to, like, live with me, like, hating them and treating them awful, or let me go. It was rough for her parents. They weren't just like go take our daughter. Like, it was a struggle. And Priscilla really goes on to be like, you know, I was the driving force behind this. My parents put up with me doing this. So, yeah, she moved. I should say also, Priscilla's stepdad went with her to Memphis to check out the situation, to check out where she would live and all that. She got enrolled at the Immaculate Conception, an all-girls high school.
Beautiful name.
Yes. So, yeah, Priscilla moved from Germany to Memphis. And Elvis was, at the time, working in L.A. while Priscilla got settled there. It was a lonely time for her. Of course, everyone at that high school knew that she was Elvis's girlfriend. And
what a weird thing. Okay, so she meets Elvis when she's 14. It's not like Anne Margaret, who already had so many things going for her. Like, that is her identity then, mm-hmm. is being
Elvis's girl.
That couldn't have been easy.
No, and of course, she was too young to like really realize it, but Elvis was training her basically to be his wife. Like, he really, she goes on about it. I'll let her words say it. But yeah, so she was lonely. Elvis was away. She got a modeling job at a boutique to earn some money because she felt weird asking Vernon or Elvis for cash. When Elvis called, she told him about the job, and Elvis said, "You're going to have to give that up. It's either me or a career. When I call, I need you to be there." So she gave it up.
Yeah, and so he probably did open her up a bank account and give her a credit card.
Yeah. So they still haven't slept together, but she does say that they would do other things.
Really?
This is really funny, actually. She says every night she would go to the drugstore and buy about 12 packs of Polaroid film. And her and Elvis kind of like played games together. Like, he loved to be the director. And like, one time they'd be the schoolgirl and the teacher or the secretary and the boss, like things like that.
And they'd take photos.
Yeah. She says Elvis and I both loved creating these sexual fantasies, and it seemed to bring us closer together. At first, I was totally open to Elvis and many of his ideas. I lived for those moments we were alone. I was careful to say little that might jeopardize my bond with him. I fulfilled his needs and his beliefs became mine. Under no circumstances were his ideas or playfulness perverted or in any way harmful.
Okay, good.
Yeah, good. So they're just having fun not sleeping together because she was still young. They found other ways to grow that bond.
But she's 16 by this point, right?
Yeah, 16, 17. So, like,
yeah, it's not, okay. That's not okay. We're approaching, you know, an appropriate time.
So this is about the point that Elvis really went to work changing her whole image. She says, "He taught me everything, how to dress, how to walk, how to apply makeup and wear my hair, how to behave, how to return love his way. I was Elvis's doll, his own living doll to be fashioned as he pleased. When I cut my hair without asking, he was shocked. He wanted it to be long and jet black." Like, Tara.
Yep.
The Pygmalion nature of our relationships was a mixed blessing. The most fundamental thing at this stage in our life together was that Elvis was my mentor, someone who studied my every gesture, listened critically to my every utterance, and was generous to a fault with advice. When I did something that wasn't to his liking, I was corrected. It was extremely difficult to relax under such scrutiny. Little escaped him, little except the most salient fact of all. I was a volcano about to erupt. Yes.
Okay. It's getting juicy.
Yeah. So, yeah, Elvis also had a temper and a jealous streak. Mm-hmm. And Priscilla was allowed to make friends with his entourage and everything. But there were a couple times where Elvis kind of freaked out.
Did poor honey have any friends of her own? Girlfriends?
No.
No brothers, sisters?
They would visit and stuff, like, later, but in Memphis, she really was, like, all alone. Yeah. It was...
I don't envy that.
No.
I bet she was envied by many, but...
But, yeah, when you actually hear the story, I would not want to be in her shoes ever. Yeah. Yeah. And she also says Elvis would blow up about the smallest issues, which I'm sure you have stories about that,
too. Can't wait to tell you about them.
If his steak wasn't cooked enough... which was burnt. Apparently he liked it like burnt. He would shout at Priscilla for it. Like, even though she of course didn't cook, he had a cook. Priscilla took it all personally, though she realized much later it was like, of course, the drugs that had a lot of, you know, to factor in about his erratic moods. Priscilla was still going to high school at this time, but she was also keeping Elvis's night hours. So she was popping pills nonstop, but she still couldn't keep up. She knew she had to graduate to stay with Elvis. It was part of her parents, the deal that she made with them. She says, as a last resort during finals, she asked an A-plus student, like, hey, do you want to come over to Elvis's house? And this person did, of course. And in exchange, she let her copy her final exam. So
yeah,
she graduated and she was finally free. Her and Elvis had a few months before he went back to L.A. to shoot another film. She said, we always seemed to be more in love when we were alone. I loved those times when it was just Elvis, not trying to live up to the image or myth. We were two people discovering each other. So, yeah, they'd watch movies. They'd play silly games together, pillow fights, hide and seek. One night, though, when they were high on uppers, it got a little too rough and Priscilla ended up with a black eye. He did not mean to do that at all.
He's probably just like showing her some karate moves.
Yeah, exactly. he apologized over and over again.
Stand still. I'm going to karate move around you, but then accidentally like...
The incident did make Priscilla think about pills differently though, mm-hmm. and she kind of started cutting back and then eventually stopped completely. So it was like a little bit of an eye-opener for her. Elvis loved going to the movies, by the way, and he actually would rent out the entire theater at night for him and his entourage and stuff, since he couldn't go in the daytime without being harassed by a million people. So yeah. Elvis's next film was Viva Las Vegas.
Okay, here we go. Yes. I like how things are starting to collide.
So Priscilla was worried before he even left about Anne Margaret. She had heard, because in the press they were kind of trying to dub her as the female Elvis, so she knew.
She knew that. Okay, so I didn't realize then in the first episode that Priscilla is still like under 20 years old.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
at home, no life of her own, no accomplishments of her own.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden Elvis is out canoodling with the female Elvis. That must have been friggin' devastating,
right? And he promised her, After rehearsals, like while we're filming, like you can come out to LA. But as the weeks progressed, he kept making excuses about why she couldn't. Now, we know from our last episode with Anne Margaret, it wasn't that she couldn't. It was that he didn't want her to, because he was having this amazing love affair at the moment with Anne Margaret.
And he still wasn't sleeping with
Priscilla.
No. So
she would ask about Anne Margaret. He would always dismiss the rumors and her fears, calling it like, Anne's just a typical Hollywood starlet and blah, blah, blah. 6 weeks after completing the film, he flew back he went back to Memphis after they filmed that. And 6 months after that, he went back to LA, to film another film called Kissing Cousins. But around that time, the press began those stories about him and Anne Margaret getting married. So Priscilla was like, what the fuck, right?
Mm-hmm. Also, Kissing Cousins, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's not a good movie. Don't ever watch it.
Okay.
Don't ever watch it.
If you want movie suggestions, listen to the previous episode, because there's a ton in there. But yes, definitely just not leave Kissing Cousins out of that.
So yeah, the press were running all these stories about him and Anne Margaret. And he used that as an excuse to make Priscilla go back to Graceland. Like, you shouldn't be here in L.A., They're going to, like, be hounding me. They're going to be asking questions. So she had to go back. And 2 weeks later, Elvis returned. And they finally had, like, a real talk about it. Priscilla knew. I mean, she knew. And he finally admitted it. He said, it's over, Priscilla, I swear. I guess I got caught up in the situation that was out of hand from the beginning. She and I come from different worlds. I don't like being exploited. I can't live like that. Don't get me wrong. She's a nice girl, but not for me. So this is him talking about Anne Margaret. But of course,
Elvis.
We know from Anne Margaret.
They're like soulmates.
Yes. And this is really interesting. I mentioned this in Anne Margaret's episode.
You're polyamorous, Elvis. Just accept it.
Anne had that puppy named Scooby.
Yeah.
And Priscilla would find telegrams signed by Scooby. And one that she found around this time said, "I just don't understand." So Anne had sent that. So
wait, so did Elvis name the dog?
No, but that was, I guess, her code name. Scooby.
Weird coincidence?
No, like Anne Margaret, that she had a puppy named Scooby, so she already had that dog. But she would sign her messages to Elvis. Scooby.
Oh, okay, right. Sorry, I got confused. Instead of writing Priscilla Anne. Had the dog named Scooby?
No, she has a dog named Honey.
And it was a Great Dane?
A poodle.
Okay. Ginger has the Great Dane. Oh, nice. My God. All of these women have dogs. Okay.
Did Elvis give her that dog?
Nope, she got it herself, but she did discuss with him about getting it.
So, after Anne Margaret, of course, Priscilla would become worried about all his co-stars, and she definitely had reason to. She could never tell gossip from the truth. The truth is, he slept with all of them. She'd find notes from random women in the house. Of course, Elvis would always deny it or have some lame excuse. He also threatened to send her back to her parents if she pressed the matter. So she learned to keep her mouth shut, basically. Her parents did move back to the States around this time, and Priscilla was always guarded with them, never really revealing anything that she thought they might find fault in. So she wouldn't tell them, like, "I'm lonely here. Elvis is cheating," and things like that. Like, she would never. Elvis also went through very bad bouts of depression. Priscilla says, "Looking back now, I realize our love affair was dependent on how his career was going. During protracted periods of non-creativity, his temper flared. The Colonel was still forcing him into shit pictures, and now RCA was trying to control his music." So Elvis, again, asked Priscilla one time about his latest song. It had been a few years since that incident that he, like, flew into a rage. And she thought, "We have a good relationship now. I can be honest. He would want my honesty." No, he did not want the honesty. She said she didn't like it. He hurled the chair at her, missed her, thank goodness. But there was, like, a record on the chair, and it hit her in the face. Priscilla and his whole crew were, like, targets. He would fly off at anyone. She says he was truly a master at manipulating people. In 1964, Larry Geller would become Elvis's new barber. And he was important because he kind of turned Elvis onto the spiritual world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He makes, we talk about him in the next episode. Or we will be.
Priscilla wasn't as into it. Anytime she questioned things, Elvis would pull out threats. He would say, "Things will never work out between us, Scylla, if you don't show any interest in me or my philosophies. There are a lot of other women out there who would share these things with me." So she ended up doing the religious studies too, obviously. That whole situation never, I guess, fully ended for Elvis, but it ended enough where it stopped becoming an issue, or however you want to put it, because the Colonel got involved. He was like, "This guy is manipulating you. It's not good for you. It's not good for your career." And of course, Elvis did everything the Colonel said. So he ended up cutting that guy out of his life a little bit too. So,
okay.
So yeah, there was a time when Priscilla had to deal with the spiritual side, and she wasn't into that yet, I guess. You know, she was young, obviously. Shortly before Christmas 1966, Elvis finally gave Priscilla an engagement ring. He didn't propose. He just said, "We're going to be married. I told you I know when it's time, and the time's right." They'd been living together for 5 years at this point. May 1st, 1967, they were wed. The colonel planned their entire wedding. Both Elvis and Priscilla were disappointed in how rushed things were. Friends and some family members didn't get to go to the ceremony because of the way the colonel did things.
What a bummer.
Yeah. And to avoid, like, fans impressed.
It was, like, Elvis's only wedding, too.
I know.
So, and that's sad.
Yeah. To avoid, like, the fans and the press, there were whisk everywhere. Yeah.
Sorry. It makes sense why, then, he was so excited for a potential other wedding.
Okay. That's interesting. I got something to say about that, too.
Okay.
Yeah, but both Elvis and Priscilla were extremely happy to be wed. She says, the years of doubt and insecurity of where and if I belonged were over. Of course, they were both extremely nervous that first night. They'd still never slept together. She says, the intensity of emotion I was experiencing was electrifying. The desire and lust that had built up in me through the years exploded into a frenzy of passion. So,
ooh.
I imagine that was must have been some night.
Yeah.
After all those years.
Yeah.
All those years. Evidence of their passion immediately was showing when Priscilla got pregnant. Elvis was against her taking birth control. He said it wasn't good for you, which is interesting since he was so okay with taking so many other pills.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Priscilla wasn't taking it. Priscilla told Elvis, I'm pregnant. He was ecstatic from the beginning, but Priscilla wasn't, because this was our honeymoon period. Like, she wanted, finally, I have Elvis to myself. Like, we're together for the first time. And now there's this other element. So she was not thrilled with it, and she did struggle with it a little bit. But it didn't take long before she, you know, really got into it, too. She was worried around this time, around 7 months, because there are new rumors about Elvis with Nancy Sinatra.
Oh.
Yeah. I automatically assume that they slept together. I don't know if there's evidence of that, but Elvis slept with everyone, so it wouldn't surprise me. But Nancy was apparently really lovely, and her and Priscilla had never really met, but Nancy called her and was like, let me do your baby shower. So Nancy,
well, yeah, I guess Priscilla doesn't have any other friends
exactly
throwing her
exactly
one, so
exactly.
Okay,
so yeah, she had her baby shower February 1st, 1968. Lisa Marie was born. It took months before Elvis would make love to Priscilla again. And this was very upsetting to Priscilla. And she realized immediately, like, once she became a mom, a shift in their relationship had happened.
Oh.
Apparently before this, Elvis had actually said to her, like, long before she ever got pregnant, like, I can never imagine, like, having sex with a mother, you know? So
Elvis, no.
Yeah. Yeah. But she did say, like, they had sex all the time when she was pregnant, which was weird. Like, it was, okay, like, after,
well,
that.
Good. At least she got to get some in her,
yeah,
life. Because but it's like she had just started having sex.
I
so
know,
it's like,
I know,
you gotta enjoy.
So, yeah. And, of course, dang, like you said, she's young and she's finally experiencing these things. Like, Elvis did not have that drive with her that he did with other women, it seems.
Seems like it, yeah. Well, I mean, because you have to, like, they're really, well, like you said, he was grooming her,
yes,
to be a certain thing.
Yeah,
she was like a product of what he had created.
Absolutely.
She wasn't this star that already made things on her own. He knew everything about her. He just, like, yeah, okay,
yeah,
but he wanted this devoted, absolutely,
yeah,
this wife that would
be there for anything.
My goodness.
As he said, like, I need you, like, when I call, I need you to be there. And I feel for her, because, of course, you're a teenager, and this is the biggest rock and roll star in the world wanting you.
But you're just, like, at home now alone having his baby.
Yeah, and you, of course, you think it's going to be magical, and, like, here you are, no friends, no life outside of this one person. And this is about the time that Priscilla really started realizing this. And she decided, like, I need something of my own. I need an outlet. So she said, in lieu of a passionate marriage, dance was becoming my life. I was obsessed, taking all my feelings and frustrations into the studio. So yeah, she began, after Lisa Marie was born, to get into dancing. And she got, like, obsessed with it. And that became her, like, one personal thing, right?
And you know, the thing is, too, is, like, she had a daughter, and that's one more girl in Elvis's life that's going to take, like, attention, basically, away from her.
Yeah. So I guess it shouldn't come as a surprise that her dance instructor, who was very much a mentor to her, pushed her, like, believed in her. Again, it was the first time Priscilla wasn't fighting for her own identity. This man saw an identity in her, like, outside of Elvis. So, of course, she ended up having a brief affair with her dance instructor. She ended it pretty quickly, I believe, though.
Did Elvis ever find out?
She never mentions it, so I don't think so, because okay. I imagine he would have flipped out.
Mm-hmm.
But she did go away with, like, realizing she needed more in her relationship with Elvis than he was giving her. So, yeah, 1968, Elvis's MGM contract was up, so he finally had his freedom, and they put him in a TV special, and that was extremely successful, and he started recording songs he liked, and it was around this time that he started playing Vegas, and Priscilla went out with him to see him perform, and she got, like, this is the first time Priscilla's actually seen him perform live.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So 1968 in Vegas, she would sit at the same table, watch him every night, and she says, like, she was just stunned at, like, how incredibly talented he was and just the way that the audience loved him. And this was actually a good time for them. She says it was the first time she felt they were, like, a true team, 'cause he was involving her in, you know, all aspects, and he was at his happiest and his healthiest. And an interesting thing that happens so much with all the women we talk about, Priscilla started sort of styling him a little bit, like buying his accessories. Like,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, well,
it's kind of an interesting twist, because he was always, like, buying and styling
everyone else around him. Yes. But it was so successful in Vegas, and they booked him a big tour. But then this new rule came in. No wives on tour. So Priscilla didn't mind, though. She was busy with Lisa Marie. It was only when Elvis started forbidding Priscilla from coming to the Vegas shows that she became upset and clearly suspicious. Like, why do you never let me come see you? Like, you're my husband. I want to see you perform. He made a rule. Wives can only come opening and closing night. So Priscilla says, Elvis was having an ongoing affair with his audience, and the next time I was home alone, I knew I had no choice but to start more of a life of my own. For years, nothing had existed in my world but him. Now that he was gone, for long stretches of time, the inevitable happened. I was creating a life of my own, starting to achieve a sense of security in myself, and discovering there was a whole world outside our marriage. So Elvis was constantly coming and going. Priscilla says when he was home, he was very loving, very attentive, very not just to her, but Lisa Marie, of course. When Elvis would go on the road, Priscilla would send him massive packages of, like, Polaroids and videos, like home videos of Lisa Marie and stuff. So he would always see her growth, even if he weren't there. To fill in her time when Elvis is away, and also clearly to get his attention, to show, like, look, I love you, I'm interested, Priscilla began taking karate and taekwondo.
That's cute.
Yeah. And there is a really important instructor at the time in America called Mike Stone. He was like an expert in Taekwondo, and Elvis like hooked her up with him. He was like, you should train with him. So she says the lessons gave her the confidence that she never knew she had, or she never had before. She began physically changing around this time. She stopped wearing the heavy makeup and the jewelry, and she's, you know, shedding Tora, right? Like, yeah, shedding, like,
coming into her own.
Shedding the woman Elvis, yeah, forced her to be, and being like, no, like, this is me. I'm this is my natural self. So she also began meeting people and becoming friends with people, and she started seeing successful marriages, and she realized, like, this is a healthy relationship, not what I have. And of course, she kind of began an affair with Mike. She says, I still loved Elvis greatly, but over the next few months, I knew I had to make a crucial decision regarding my destiny. Elvis could kind of sense the change, but he really did not realize exactly what was happening. One night, he grabbed her and, in her words, forcibly made love to me. That's, aww. Yes. Apparently, Elvis said, this is how a real man makes love to his woman. She says, no. Yeah. This was not the gentle, understanding man I knew I grew to love. He was under the influence and had become a stranger to me. So the next day, Priscilla finally said, like, I'm leaving. Like, I can't. This is it for me. And he said, are you out of your mind? You have everything a woman could want. You mean I've been so blind I did not see what's going on? I've been so wrapped up I couldn't see this coming? And she was like, yeah, like, it's always about you, right? They held each other. They cried. She says, as she walked away, Elvis said, like, maybe another time, another place. And she was like, yeah, maybe, but not now. So she walked away, and they divorced in 1973, in October 9th. They had a rough patch, of course. Lots of divorces. It's not easy. But they ended up becoming friends, and they had joint custody.
I still have a sour look on my face. I can
yeah,
tell.
I know. That's kind of hard to...
It is, man. It is hard. It's hard, like, every time you hear something about somebody who you love and idolize and whatever, and it's like you hear about this, like, piece of shit behavior that's happened. And, I mean, it's the same thing with, like, Led Zeppelin and all the crap that they pulled. It's like, you know, we're still, like, idolizing them and we love them and stuff. But when you hear shit like that, you're like, ugh.
It's important to remember also, like, they were under influence of, like, heavy drugs. So, like she says, like, that's not the Elvis I know. That's a messed up Elvis. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's no excuse for that kind of behavior. You'd hope that people under that influence could like, see, like, wow, this is turning me into this. But sometimes, like, I guess you can't.
Yeah.
Or you don't want to, right?
Okay.
So, when they divorced, Elvis was dating Linda Thompson.
Yep.
Priscilla did like her. And from 1973 to 1976,
Ginger didn't.
Well, of course, that she was like right before Ginger. So, but yeah, 1973-76, Priscilla opened a boutique in LA called Bis and Bo, and Elvis really supported her during that, and they definitely made sure that they stayed a family unit for Lisa, and show her, you know, just because we're not together, like, we still care about each other and we definitely love you. So they did have a good relationship. Elvis's health kind of was starting to get bad around this time. This is also around the time that he began seeing Ginger now. This is interesting. I'm sure it doesn't mention in Ginger's book.
Okay, let's hear it.
He would call Priscilla constantly complaining about Ginger.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She knew that they talked, but she was like, she's young now too, right?
Yeah.
So Ginger is like 19, 20. And she's just like, well, of course he has to talk to Priscilla on the phone. They have a child together. It's for Lisa, but no, she never mentioned anything like
that. So Elvis would complain about their age difference. He would complain that she did not like touring or being away from her family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he actually like allowed her to take them on tour for a bit, or some family member, I suppose.
No, he brought the whole family.
Wow.
But it was at his request.
Yes. But then he would call Priscilla and complain that she was paying more attention to her family than she was him. Because as we know from Priscilla's story, he wanted a woman that's solely focused on him.
Okay. So yeah, keep that in mind because I could say a few more things, but I'll save it.
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, he was constantly complaining. He was constantly contemplating leaving her, apparently. And of course, he did what else he also did to Anne Margaret, which was call and be like, I want you back. I still love you. I'm so stupid that I didn't realize like what I had when I had it. But yeah, all this time he's like with Ginger. So, yeah.
Okay.
So Lisa Marie was visiting Elvis when he passed away, August 16, 1977. I think it was heart failure.
I'll get into it.
Yeah. And of course, his death made Priscilla more aware of her and her loved ones and mortality, and that she needed to open up and share more and take more charge of her life. One big thing that Priscilla really drives home is the unfortunate situation that both of them could never fully communicate to each other. And she does believe if only they could express their emotions to each other and like listen to each other. And like she was, of course, always scared to
like Jenny Boy, Nick Fleetwood.
She was scared to say, especially with Elvis like threatening her, like other girls would love to be with me and not complain. And right. So like they never got to talk about their relationship. And so, of course, it couldn't work. So, yeah, that's what she really learned from him. Like, I need to be open in relationships. I need to talk about things. Priscilla became the executor of his heir, which was, of course, Lisa Marie. Priscilla was amazing. She turned Graceland into like a money making museum and she did this because when Elvis died, Lisa Marie's inheritance was only $1 million. Yeah. Because he spent.
You know what? Yes. Yeah. You're right. It makes sense.
He was constantly spending.
I'll tell you in the next episode where all that money went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the upkeep of Graceland was very expensive, and that money was not going to last.
Well, good for her then.
She actually, by doing that, by the time Lisa Marie like got her inheritance, it was over $100 million. So Priscilla is amazing. Turned $1 million into $100 million. In 1988, Priscilla launched her own fragrances and she started producing films and getting into acting. Her most popular roles were Jenna Wade on the classic TV show Dallas. Mm-hmm. And Jane Spencer in the Naked Gun series. I don't know if you've ever watched those.
I haven't.
But they're hilarious. And she's funny and gorgeous and great. And she's also an ambassador for the Dream Foundation. And she does a lot of like charity work and things like that. Priscilla found new love, Marco Garibaldi, I believe his name was. They were together for 22 years and they had a son named Navarone in 1987, who I looked up and is a total babe.
Oh.
And a musician.
Oh.
He's in a band called Them Guns. And I wasn't the biggest fan of the music, but maybe you guys out there are. So
check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And just look at him. Because he's pretty. Her and Marco separated in 2006. I'm not sure if she's with anyone now or anything. She's a Scientologist.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is interesting because
so many of them are Scientologists. I know.
And I'm not positive, but I did look this up and like from what I've read, Elvis like loved spirituality and religion, but apparently that was like the one religion where he was like, fuck these people. And
Well, yeah, good.
So it's interesting.
But I also I'll explain the kind of spirituality he was into and what kind of books he was reading.
Yeah.
So it's completely different from what those freaks are doing.
I also read that Lisa Marie, of course, was a Scientologist, but she actually got out of it. So something happened with her, at least, where she was like, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But I think her daughter, Riley, is also one who, I don't know if you guys know, if you know, she's an actress. She's...
Wait, who'd she have a daughter with?
Someone Keough?
After the son?
So no, those... I'm not talking about Priscilla. I'm talking about Lisa Marie.
Oh, Lisa Marie has a daughter who's a model, isn't she?
An actress. She started out as a model. Now she's an actress.
And a Scientologist.
Yes. And like her most recent film was the new Mad Max film. She's gorgeous. She's definitely got those Presley good looks.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's building a nice career for herself. She's lovely.
Besides the whole Scientology
thing.
Okay.
And those who love Elvis should definitely read Priscilla's book, Elvis and Me. There's tons of material about his private life. I couldn't fit into this one episode.
We're trying to keep it to an hour, guys. And we've got like 8 pages of notes.
As Shanti mentioned, like a lot of his erratic, crazy, weird behaviors, shooting TVs, things like that. She talks in depth about all of those things. It's really interesting.
And then also I'll get into that stuff next week.
For sure.
Too.
And yeah, if you're an Elvis fan, like pick up her book. You'll love it. Yeah.
Great. Well, it was really interesting because our first Elvis episode with Anne was like upbeat, light, this kind of thing. This one shows a bit of the darker side of Elvis, and then we'll go back to a lighter side. So next week will be on the lighter side.
I cannot wait to hear about Ginger because I don't know anything about Ginger, so it'll be really interesting.
Fantastic.
Cool.
Okay, as always, thank you for a well-researched, enthusiastic, beautiful episode.
You're welcome.
Okay, everybody, thank you again for listening. As always, you can find us online on Instagram at Muses and Stuff Podcast, on Twitter.
Shantine Links.
That's the one. Yeah. On our website. Just type in Muses and Stuff into Google.
We're there.
It's right there, baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll catch you later.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.